show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
I am asked all the time. I get asked frequently. Hey, you know, aren't you from California? And to which I say, yes, that's where I was born and raised, in the People's Republic of California. And they say, well, how come you're fighting so hard and you identify as a Texan? And you're fighting so hard to make sure that Texas remains conservative, Texas remains free. Folks, I guess the only analogy that is appropriate here, you all know that Cubans flee Castro's communist paradise, right? Cubans flee, and a lot of them settle in Florida. So they go from a totalitarian communist state, and they make it to the land of the free, the home of the brave, and a conservative state like Florida, and they breathe free. And so and they're there, and they instantly become conservatives. They instantly become, some of them, Republicans. Time was Republicans used to oppose communism and socialism. Not anymore, but it used to be universal. Conservatives do universally, but not every Republican. That's a sad testament to where we are. It just happens to be where we are. Anyway, but that is the explanation I like to give about why I am so dedicated to preserving Texas. It's because Texas, and now the aforementioned Florida, they are one of the few remaining bastions of freedom, liberty, prosperity that we have in the United States. So if Texas falls, if Florida falls, then the entire nation isn't far behind, because we are the only ones that house and cultivate and protect alternative points of view to the leftists. Now, the leftists have been trying to infiltrate these two states for many, many moons. New York has tried to infiltrate and disrupt Florida. And of course, California is flooding Texas. And they're trying to flood them with a bunch of Marxists and Leninists. Some people, don't get me wrong, and I think it's the majority, some people are fleeing who want to breathe free from California and want to breathe free from New York. So don't, and some of them are conservatives, some of them are Republicans. So there's also a healthy chunk of people who fit that description. But as a practical matter, the left is trying to undo Texas, the Texas miracle, the Florida miracle, which is the few remaining bastions of true Americanism that's left. And no, it doesn't mean racism, and no, it doesn't mean any of this crap that the left wing says that it means. So, in short, this is why I want to preserve Texas and make it a conservative bastion, as to inoculate us, to immunize us from left-wing extremism. So no matter what the left-wingers throw at us, maybe we can build on the success of the Constitution. And then from there, it's kind of like a vaccine that actually works, not like the current China virus vaccines, which data is now showing that they are not very effective, an actual inoculation that works. You put policies in place, you put laws in place that implement and guarantee human liberty, freedom, prosperity, and the rule of law, and that is a way to immunize yourself from the disease that is democratism, communism, socialism. They're all synonymous. Now, I mentioned earlier the problems with, quote, Republicans, that the current incarnation of the Republican Party doesn't seem to recognize the nature of the Democrats. They don't know or understand, or maybe they do, and they just don't want to do anything about it, the nature of what the modern day socialist Democrat has devolved into: a petulant, childlike communist stomping their feet whenever they don't get their way, and willing to trodden upon individuals' rights to get their way. I point to how the Texas House in the last legislative session handled Democrats who abandoned Texas and fled to Washington, D.C. very little was done to punish them for what they had done. And some would say, well, this time around in this legislative session, the speaker saw fit to give them fewer chairmanships. But I think that was done out of recognition of how pissed off the rank and file in the conservative movement was here in Texas, and how much that could undermine those in political power, in particular in the Texas House. So I'm watching this session unfold, and I'm noticing some things. Here comes the Senate, and this isn't the first time I've noticed this about the Senate. The Senate, under Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, has put the nose to the grindstone. They get there, they get their bills filed, they get their bills written and then filed, and then it's real serious stuff. It's real substantive, hard-hitting stuff that impacts the lives of Texans. And then you look over at the House, and their bills are not hard-hitting. Those bills don't help the majority of Texans. And the MO of the House has been to run out the clock to make sure that good conservative measures never get a hearing on the House side. So they twiddle their thumbs and don't take up any conservative legislation. And then they say, oops, sorry, we were so busy dealing with all of this frivolous stuff that we just plumb ran out of time to do anything constructive about, let's say, making illegal voting a felony, or making those who deal in fentanyl caught in Texas subject to the death penalty. The House says, no, we don't want to deal with all of that. We'll just go over here and talk about all of this frivolous stuff, and then we'll, you know, blame it on the calendar, and we'll blame it on the clock running out, hoping that we, the people, won't notice. But I, your liberty-loving Latino, am noticing. And you know what? Frankly, folks, a lot of other people are noticing. I want to talk about this legislative session in the very beginning with a couple of head honchos at the Texas GOP. That's next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Folks, let's get to a couple of guests. This is going to be a really cool podcast because you guys, I mean, I know that sometimes government can be kind of foreign to a lot of folks. A lot of us have tuned out, much to our detriment, I've got to say. So holding government's feet to the fire, making sure that our priorities are reflected in government, so frankly, our lives are better, is quite important. And there are some folks dedicated to doing just that. First off, Jill Glover, Legislative Priorities Chair for the Texas Republican Party, is with us, as is the Chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi. Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, Chris. So glad to be with you.
Great to have you both. So, Jill, I want it, ladies first. Want to begin with you. Legislative priorities, just 30,000 feet up. Tell the Republican Party of Texas, what are the big priorities for the party, hoping the legislature will get certain things done?
Sure. And Chris, just to explain where our priorities come from, these are voted on by our state delegates every 2 years at state convention. And our delegates represent the Republican voters from all over the state. And so there are 15 priorities that are presented to our state delegates, and they vote on the top eight. And so these represent, you know, things that all our Republican voters care about. Election integrity came in number one, securing the border number two, banning gender modification of children, which was one of our priorities for last session that unfortunately did not get passed. Stopping sexualization of children, which is the drag queen story hour, brunch kinds of things, along with the explicit books in the school libraries. Then we have abolishing abortion, which of course was a priority last session as well, but our delegates feel like that is still a critical issue. And then defending our Second Amendment rights. And again, last session, that this was our really big win when we got constitutional carry passed. Mm-hmm. But I think our delegates feel like there are still some threats from the Biden administration on our gun rights. And then, of course, parental rights and educational freedom is our other priority. So that's where they come from. And we have lots of support from our priorities, not only from our delegates, but also most of these things were on the Republican primary ballot last March. And so, 2 million Texans voted on these things and indicated that these were very important issues for them as well. So we've got a lot of support for them.
Well, Chairman Rinaldi, I mean, this is not one of those issues that are the priorities for the Republican Party of Texas this time around, but it was the last session, and it had, I think it was 65-66% support from Republican voters, which was getting rid of taxpayer-funded lobbying, yet they didn't do it. And I'm just curious, your read, what people told you. The people of Texas, the Republican people of Texas, the Republican Party said to the Republicans, do this. This is a top priority. We don't want it anymore. And the Republican Party said, screw you. We don't care. Well, actually, Chris Patty said, screw you. We don't care. And then what went down with all that?
I mean, just what you said, a guy who was in the legislature last session, who now is a lobbyist. And I haven't checked his clients. I'm sure he probably has some taxpayer-funded lobbying in there. But killed the bill in the House when the grassroots were clamoring for it. And he even was so brazen in doing it that it was Senator Middleton's bill. And he postponed it until his birthday, Middleton's birthday, which was after session was over. So effectively killing it as a parting shot to Middleton. It wasn't on the priorities this year, just because, to be honest, the whole world's gone to hell and there are a lot more priorities right now. And we already have them filled, and in each of those categories has several subcategories. But it's something that we're focused on as the Republican Party of Texas, because it makes sense. You shouldn't be paying tax dollars so that lobbyists can then lobby for you to pay more taxes, to pay more lobbyists.
No, I'm with you on that one. But see, and my point wasn't to refocus on that. By the way, I still oppose it vehemently. But my point is that the system is supposed to say, we the people tell you what to do in government, and you're supposed to execute that. But there's been an attitude that I've noticed in recent sessions where certain people, let's point the finger where it's supposed to go. Certain people in the Texas House have said, we're the smart people. So we're going to tell you, we don't want to hear what you the little people have to say. And it's this attitude, Jill, that I'm kind of bristling at. What is the Republican Party of Texas doing to make sure that this Chris Patty like dismissal of the will of the people doesn't become the norm up there, in particular in the Texas House?
Well, that's a great question, Chris. And as you were talking, I was just thinking about something that came up yesterday, and this isn't something necessarily on our priority list, but it is certainly a plank, and that is the issue of casino gambling. And the Republican Party of Texas, we have a plank opposing casino gambling, and the state Republican Executive Committee, which is, we serve like the board of directors for the party. We wrote a resolution at our last meeting opposing casino gambling. And so yesterday there was a hearing on it in the House. And, there was lobbyist after lobbyist after lobbyist representing billions of dollars, frankly. And many of these folks have given money to our Republican elected officials, that donated to their campaigns. And so, you know, I went and I read our resolution reminding our Republicans of our Republican value of opposing casino gambling for all the myriad reasons why it's a bad deal to come to our state. And so I think that we, the people, have to be down there, and we have to remind them, and we have to engage with them, and we have to call them and email them and remind them of these things.
Mr. Rinaldi, the Texas Senate, and this is the pattern I've noticed in recent years, they get to work, they get busy right away, and they start cranking out really conservative legislation. For example, Senator Paul Bettencourt and I had a discussion about $16.5 billion worth of tax relief, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this thing is, the bill he laid out that he got out of the Senate was very, very comprehensive and very beneficial to the people of Texas. Then you've got this bill that came out of the Senate that basically says that if you're a fentanyl distributor, that you can be charged with murder. As you know, 110,000 people died in the United States because of Beijing Biden's opioid crisis that he has only exacerbated because of his open border. Tell me, what's the House up to these days?
Not voting on bills like the Senate, for one thing. What we saw is how much leadership matters. And the Senate, under the leadership of Dan Patrick, since he took over, has been a body that has not let Democrats run the show. They've set the agenda, and they've worked together with conservatives, the grassroots, and now the party, in helping push those priorities over the finish line. They look at it as a team effort. And that's truly all you can ask for. They're not going to pass everything we want. Nobody does, you know, but we just want to know that they have the same goals in mind that we do, which is making Texas a better place to live for all of us. The House has a completely different culture, as you could see, and it's one of, I mean, it's a very adversarial relationship, the party and the grassroots. It's like you get the sense that they're, you know, that don't like their own voters. I mean, the people who come in the primary vote Republican. I mean, there's this animosity towards Republican voters that's almost palpable in the House. And you see that, like, right? The Senate right now is passing school choice. They're passing property tax cuts. They're passing election law bills, restoring election law to a felony. And our first calendar of House bills is next week. And you've got a minor change to health law. You've got a change in the branding of honey, and you've got you can buy fireworks on Diwali, and the price of tampons is going to go down by 6%. I mean, that's what you're looking at.
Priorities, baby. There is your Texas House, ladies and gentlemen. The branding of honey, the existential threat of tampon costs, and oh my goodness, and a minor tweak to a medical law. That is quite the. Well, I don't want to be disparaging. I just want to say that there's quite a marked contrast there. Can we say that? Jill Glover, folks, is our guest, legislative priorities chair at Texas GOP, and Matt Rinaldi is the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Okay, guys, so let's dig into the nitty gritty here. I mean, I'm praying that eventually the House will get down to brass tacks and actually start addressing issues that are important to the people of Texas. So where are we in both parts of the legislative branch in passing those, Jill, those eight priorities that you had articulated off the top?
Sure. So the Senate we are so pleased that the Senate has heard our gender modification bill, and Dr. Oliverson is our representative in the House with that bill. Dr. Campbell in the Senate authored our gender mod bill in the Senate, and they have passed that out of committee, and we are very happy about that. And I will say that I am pleased that the House has announced on Monday that they will hear Dr. Oliverson's companion bill for banning gender modification in the House on Monday. So that is a very good positive thing. Another positive thing is one of our bills for stopping sexualization of children by Representative Patterson, and that's House Bill 900 was heard on Tuesday, and that he's done a great job with that bill, and so that's something that we are looking to be passed out of that committee. So those are probably two of the more major bills for our legislative priorities that are moving, and we're pleased to see that.
Mr. Chairman, the Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan, has come out incredibly strongly on getting these rogue district attorneys brought to heel. He issued a statement, I think it was his first day of session, pledging to make sure that rogue district attorneys would be brought under control and start being forced to put the rule of law first, not the criminals. Something that I think a lot of people can applaud, considering what's going on in New York right now with Alvin Bragg. Your thoughts?
I mean, I agree that's one of the biggest priorities of this session. I thought, Jill can correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the Speaker made David Cook's bill on that topic one of his top 20 priorities or low-numbered bills. Thought he did, and that led me to say, you know, I think it was his 13th priority he announced. So I was like, well, you know, the old saying, one out of 13 ain't bad. But that was definitely a good priority bill. And Tam Parker has a similar bill in the Senate. And what it would do, it effectively would say, if a DA is in a city and it would exclude a broad class of, you know, he would refuse to prosecute a particular class of crimes as a policy, well, he could be removed from office in an action brought by the attorney general. It's kind of drafted like the language in my amendment to the sanctuary city ban that we passed in 2017, where you could remove people from office who adopt sanctuary policies. I think it's a great policy. I think it solves the problem, because what are people afraid of more than losing their office, right?
True. I think the Speaker does deserve credit for identifying one serious problem that, frankly, George Soros has identified, too, and he's exploiting it, and it could unwind the entire fabric of our justice system and our country. So it's good that Texas is paying attention to that. I want, and in that same vein, I want you both to comment on this outlying criminal court of appeals issue. As you know, the criminal court of appeals inexplicably gave Democrats a fighting chance to cheat at the ballot box by basically cowing the attorney general with an absurd ruling saying the attorney general doesn't have the right to prosecute violations of voting laws, which was just patently absurd. Jill, you go first. Is the legislature doing anything that you've seen to address this?
Well, we've, and Matt can help me out with the bill, but I know we've got a bill filed, but unfortunately, we're not seeing any movement on very, frankly, very many of our election integrity bills, and that bill falls under that election integrity priority. So, frankly, no, and I'm disappointed about that.
So, I think there are two. One of which is the bill we just spoke about that would actually also deal with rogue district attorneys. So the problem is the Court of Criminal Appeals ruled that the attorney general cannot prosecute crime, basically. I mean, it applies broader than just election fraud, but election fraud was the instant case. What Tan Parker and David Cook's bill would do is kind of make one more step, but still allow the attorney general to do it. Because if a district attorney refuses to prosecute election fraud, well, then the attorney general can come in and remove him from office. Another bill that's dealing with that is taking away jurisdiction of the Court of Criminal Appeals to determine constitutional issues. So constitutional issues that come through would then get elevated to the Supreme Court. And there was a legal opinion on it. I don't believe that it requires a constitutional amendment to do that.
Well, the Criminal Court of Appeals, those eight, air quotes, Republicans who voted in the affirmative for that, they all deserve to be impeached. And I've been calling ever since that disgraceful ruling was handed down, and the timing of that disgraceful ruling timed to be very, very political, politically beneficial to those justices. I'm sorry. They don't deserve to be on the bench. And this host,
the day after primary filing.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. My humble opinion, they don't deserve to be on the bench. Guys, we're talking to Jill Glover, legislative priorities chair for the Republican Party of Texas and the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi. Another thing that I sat in my living room, guys, for 4 days and I froze my butt off with my family. It was just as Rush Limbaugh passed away. It was February. I remember it. It was Snowmageddon. And we had no power in many parts of Texas because of our overdependence on unreliable green energy and because of a rather antiquated and dilapidated system that we have. And again, over-reliance on unreliable energy rather than a reliance on thermal energy, of which we have an abundance here in the state of Texas. Jill Glover, I have been talking with lawmakers off and on for 2 years. One of the great ideas, and I'm just dying to figure out if it's found its way into legislation yet. One of the great ideas to solve this imbalance being proposed, and I can't remember who proposed it, was this. Okay, you can't do anything about the Barack Hussein Obama money coming in and incentivizing Texans to put up wind farms and put up solar farms on their property. You can't do anything about that. But what Texas can do is require that, okay, you're going to put up your 1 megawatt's worth of wind and your 1 megawatt's worth of solar. You must have an equal amount of reliable thermal energy, i.e. natural gas, clean burning natural gas, on your property as well for when your windmills aren't turning and the sun isn't shining at night. You must be able to maintain your commitment. What do you think about that? And does it exist anywhere?
Chris, you know what? I will be perfectly honest with you. I'm going to let Matt answer this question because this is one of those issues, and we've got several. You already brought up one about banning taxpayer-funded lobbying, which was a priority last time, and then another is certainly property tax. Those don't fall within the purview of alleged priorities this session, and so I'll be totally honest with you. All of my brain power is on our bills
for
these eight priorities. But I bet Matt can speak to that. And absolutely, this is one of those incredibly important issues because nobody wants to repeat what Texans went through.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, and one of the, I do know it's one of the top priorities of Lieutenant Governor Patrick, is more gas-powered electric generation this session. I mean, and when you talk to him personally, by the way, you can kind of tell what he gets really excited about. Like there are several issues, and one of them is absolutely this issue. So I can guarantee you it's going to be a priority of the Senate. In the House, I think it is as well. I think it's likely something gets passed through. I'm optimistic about this issue.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it was, look, do we want to have money flowing to our own natural gas producers here in Texas, Texas jobs, Texas companies, or do we want to have Texas being a major support system for communist China and their solar panel productions? And for me, it was a no-brainer, not to mention...
What about wind, too?
Well, that too.
I mean, you're talking about wind. I mean, wind power, I think the largest... construction company in Texas or in the United States is from Denmark. And it's yeah, I'd rather have stuff flow to Texas companies.
Right. And you know what, again, I don't want to benefit China economically because of what's going on geopolitically and frankly the 250 Texas deaths that it stuck with me. That here we are in the first world and we've got 250 Texans dying from exposure because we can't keep the lights on. And it's all because Barack Hussein Obama threw a whole bunch of money to pervert and distort the energy market. And that was that. Go ahead, Jill.
And Chris, you know, this whole thing kind of brings up the whole idea of the Great Reset and the ESG and the globalism that we are seeing seep into our Texas policy. And, you know, it's, you know, they want to take us back to a third world country, right? And taking down our energy is certainly one way to do that. So that's something else I think that we really have got to be careful of is how those, you know, how those policies are being snuck into some of our bills. So,
okay, well,
and we have to play offense as well on those bills.
That's right.
You know, I think it's important, like we're talking about like gas stoves, right? yep. Where they set their sights on banning gas stoves.
Yep.
They go, no, we're not really trying to ban gas stoves. Then it was like 2 weeks later when the news cycles are just kidding. Yes, we are. But you see places like Florida actually trying to enact policies that incentivize gas stoves. So, you know, they're proactively going after and supporting gas stoves, natural gas generation plants. I wish we could do the same thing with gas-powered cars because electric cars are annoying, but, you know, got to play offense.
Exactly. Okay. Let's incentivize Dodge not to get rid of their Challenger and their Charger lines, which are immensely popular, by the way, and are really cool cars. And let's incentivize them. Hey, don't go electric.
You got to buy, you buy a Tesla, you got to buy a Hellcat.
Exactly.
That's like the rule, right?
Amen. That's my new bumper sticker. Buy a Tesla, buy a Hellcat. There you go. Guys, I'm quite certain this isn't on your radar screens, either one of you. So I want to take an opportunity because I had a small hand in this because and the folks that are listening to the podcast, they've heard this story, but I want to make sure you guys, and I know you guys know the story, but maybe you've not heard me tell it. There's a man by the name of John Cornyn. John Cornyn is a betrayer, is a backstabber of the people of Texas, every one of us, from his attack on the Second Amendment and his betrayal of Texas gun owners and Texas taxpayers to make us fund these red flag laws, among other things. You know, he tripped all over himself to collude with Democrats on that, to this disgraceful and disgusting omnibus vote that he made, which prohibited taxpayer dollars from being spent to stopping this illegal alien invasion on our southern border that has been foisted upon us by the Democrat Socialist Party in Washington. He actually voted for language that prohibited taxpayer dollars to stopping that. So this guy's got 4 more years to plague Texas. And I said, that's just unacceptable. We need something else. So I did a little investigating. The reason why John Cornyn exists, guys, is because of the 17th Amendment. John Cornyn is allowed to betray Texas because of the bastardization of the Constitution that was implemented by self-interested individuals in Washington with the implementation of the 17th Amendment. So I sought a remedy for the bastardization of the 17th Amendment, and this is what I came up with the help of Representative Brian Harrison, a former Trump administration official and now a representative in the 10th District. A bill to be enacted, an act relating to the recall of a United States senator by the legislature. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Texas, Section 1, the legislature finds that the federal government was intended to be a creation of and responsive to the sovereign states. Number 2, the 10th Amendment rights of states and the people have been significantly diminished since the adoption of the 17th Amendment. Number 3, a restoration of the appropriate balance of power between the sovereign states of Texas, the state of Texas, and the federal government is necessary. The federal government has asserted itself in nearly all matters of human endeavor, including the exercising of authorities not granted to it under the Constitution. So it goes on, and it goes. There's only a couple of more stanzas. But in short, what this bill would do with a simple majority vote in both houses of the legislature, a Texas senator could be recalled, one of the two. So, Jill, that this was to show just how unpopular John Cornyn is. But what do you think about the legislative language and the fact that it's out there?
You know what, Chris? I'll be honest with you. I love it, and I would be all for it.
Yeah. Wow, that's shortened to the point. Mr. Rinaldi?
Yes.
I love that he proposed it. I haven't even thought of the ramifications of it yet. You told me about it last night, and that was like the first time I heard about it. But it's kind of interesting because I've never been in favor of restoration of the old way of selecting U.S. senators because, you know, election by the legislature, because I always tell people you would currently have Senator Dewhurst instead of Senator Cruz if you let the legislature pick. However, if you have a recall, and the people still pick who the senator is, I think that provides a good balance.
There you go.
So it's an interesting idea. It's not going to pass, but you know, I love that you're, Harrison's trying to move the Overton window by, you know, proposing it.
Well, you know,
and Chris,
go ahead, Jill.
Well, I don't want to derail this, but since you brought up Harrison, I really want to give him a shout out because he has done he's done a great job thinking innovatively on things like that, but also on banning the vaccine mandates. And we didn't talk about that, but he's got a COVID vaccine mandate ban bill that's excellent. And so we really are benefiting from having him in the House this session.
I have met him several times and we talk quite frequently. So, and I don't know how much interaction you guys have, but I can say of Representative Harrison, he is a staunch conservative. He reminds me a lot of you, Matt. I got to be honest. Very, very sharp, very intelligent, and just likes, and again, innovative thinking. The other side, the left wing, is always innovatively thinking of ways to take away our rights. I think we have to be equally innovative, Mr. Chairman, of preserving those rights. Yes.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Like I'd always said, I said it during my speech at the convention, we need to go on offense and we need to think of ways to not only stop the left from taking over every institution and using it to spread their values, but we need to find ways to use institutions to spread our values, especially to the next generation in school.
Yes.
Part of why I was testifying. Yeah, the first bill I testified on in person was the school choice bill that passed out of committee. Was heard in committee, I guess, yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what? School choice is very important because currently the GovEd system in Texas is pushing LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism. They are pushing critical race theory. They are pushing this gender optional confusion of our children. And it's just, it's absolutely right. Unacceptable. And they're not learning, Jill. They're not learning the principles articulated in a bill, HB 5065, which reads, "It is necessary to restore the original constitutional design that federal senators serve the best interest of the state of Texas." And our children are not being raised to know and understand that.
Well, and Chris, you're exactly right, and it's worse than that. And you know, you mentioned the LGBT ideology. The problem with that is it breaks down a child's identity. And when you're talking about, you know, gingerbread people to 4 and 5 year olds and picking your gender and all of these things, I mean, that derails their brain development, right? So they can't learn about the Constitution or how our country was founded or anything else because they literally are not developing properly and their brains are not thinking. And we are seeing this phenomenal rise in mental health disorders in our kids. We're seeing anxiety, suicidal ideation, and depression at numbers we've not seen before. And so absolutely something has to be done. And I will say, you know, 4 of our legislative priorities have to do with protecting our children. And so I think our state delegates, our Republican voters are seeing the danger that our children are in. And they're saying, this is a line, you know, we're fed up. Something's got to change and be done.
Well,
and that's a good thing.
Well, that you took me right where I wanted to go. The last question I have for the chairman is this. This is, as you know, Mr. Rinaldi, I have been trying my best since you and I actually, before you and I first met, to get parental school choice, to have Texas join the ranks of the civilized states, and to leave the knuckle-dragging states that deny parents the right to administer and to have the say over how their children are educated. Does just handicap this for me. Does something substantive get done this session on school choice?
Something will get done on school choice. What the House does with it is going to determine what it looks like. What the party would like it to look like is universal school choice without strings attached. So we're going to see what happens. I think what passes out of the Senate is going to be a really good bill. I like SB 8 by Senator Creighton. I like Mays Middleton's bill, which is the legislative priority Jill's committee endorsed the committee substitute to that bill. I think what comes out of the Senate looks something like that. It's going to be a great bill. It's going to go to the House. We'll see what happens to it there. But what's clear is school choice doesn't work when you put a bunch of regulations on private schools, as we saw in Louisiana, because what happens is when you tie strings and regulations to the money, the good private schools don't participate in the program, and the ones that aren't, that have low enrollment, do. Mm. So it doesn't help. What we need is something like the Senate is going to pass out that applies to everybody. Then we can expand it to more students each session.
Yeah, the aforementioned Harrison is on that committee. So hope springs eternal that some good stuff will be coming out of that, because we cannot allow government money to do to homeschoolers or parochial schools what it did to GovEd, which completely destroyed it. Jill Glover, Legislative Priorities Chair at the Republican Party of Texas, and Matt Rinaldi, the Chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Guys, it's been a fun discussion. I hope we can do it again, maybe middle of session, then maybe toward the end of session. We'll make this kind of a tradition, okay?
Chris, may I give a quick plug for our TexasGOP.org website?
Absolutely.
We've got all kinds of resources. We have resources under hashtag TXLEGE, and my committee populates that with everything you want to know about our legislative priorities and how to engage with your elected officials. So please check that out.
Guys, thanks very much for the time. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, my friends. Head on over to TexasScorecard.com. You'll probably see a write-up on this podcast in the coming days, because a lot of news was made here. And I think there's going to be a lot of inspection of how the House, I don't know how much longer the Texas House can employ this run-the-clock-out method as a mechanism to stop addressing critical issues of freedom, liberty, and prosperity for the state of Texas. I just don't know how long that's going to be viable. And those who will be writing the articles and the news observations will be at the Texas Scorecard. Also, check out chrissalcedo.com, chrissalcedo.com. That is where you go to find our presence on the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas, and TNT Radio, heard all over Mother Earth. Across the globe, as a matter of fact. Also on television, on Newsmax, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by government. It is measured by how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we, the people. See ya.